the United States Environmental Protection Agency learned about a particular set of circumstances at the Chevron's refinery in Richmond. We're not quite sure when they knew exactly about what went down, but we know that the local air quality management district had identified a problem in August of 2009 in that they found what was sort of a method by which Chevron could release the gases and toxic material that builds up in the refining process out a pipe and it not be measured by a monitor that's required to track a practice known as flaring, which is they burn off the impurities or the pressure buildup. And normally that's supposed to, since 2003 or 2006, depending on how regulations work, they're supposed to keep an eye on that and actually monitor it and sample it. But this particular pipe had been used more than two dozen times to release the material buildup inside the pressure vessel that makes the oil into jet fuel or to higher grade octane material. This pipe was used to go directly to the top of what would otherwise be a flaring tower and bypassing, whether intentionally or not, the monitoring equipment inside the tower.
Well, what would be the advantage for Chevron to go ahead and divert around this monitoring equipment?
Well, the monitoring equipment is supposed to measure any time there's a flare. And any time there's a flare, there's a flare minimization plan in place and has been for a number of years, in which Chevron and other refineries aren't just supposed to routinely flare away these gases that build up in their refining process. They're supposed to only do it in an emergency. So in the 27 or so documented events, they flared without having to make a report or explain why they did it. Then they didn't have to justify it as an emergency. They could just simply flare at will. At least that was the impression that the regulators had. And they spent 2 years investigating this before August of 2011 when they reached a $170,000 settlement for fines associated for this course of events. And at some point after that, or maybe earlier, it's unclear, the Environmental Protection Agency, which also enforces a federal consent decree order that was on Chevron's refineries in the United States, that they minimized the same flaring event. So they had another jurisdiction to come in and reexamine this process. Because under the federal court order, which dates to 2005, Chevron was supposed to monitor, report back, and do other things to limit flaring. So there was a separate bite at the apple the federal government had. The AQMD regulates them under some of the same rules. But this federal court order against Chevron is apparently the method by which they're scrutinizing this particular agreement. Because Chevron did pay the $170,000 penalty for its conduct last August.
So they could, by diverting around the monitoring equipment, by flaring more often, they could conceivably run a dirtier plant.
Well, they would dispute that. They say that the amount of flaring involved here, based on their estimates, was minimal, minuscule, nothing. Which begs the question as to why they did it in the first place. Clearly, it's not at all settled as to if they knew this device could be used for flaring, why didn't they put a monitor in it? And because they put in six monitors elsewhere. So the conundrum, which came first, the device or the use of the device, because they say the device existed before the regulations. So that would mean that once the regulations were in place, they should have arguably installed a monitor. Yet they didn't install the monitor. And they admit that. And if they didn't install the monitor, then it begs the question of why did they use this to relieve pressure on their vessel in lieu of the actual flare, which is right there. They could use the flare easily if they had a need to. So this, and they haven't been clear in their response because they basically said that this was inadvertent or unintentional, but clearly some part of it might be construed as intentional, given that they intentionally released gases through this pipe, and those gases went into the flare tower and were flared.
That's Jackson Vanderbecken. He reports for the San Francisco Chronicle on the Chevron refinery. If you've seen the refinery, you know it's just filled with pipes after pipes after pipes. It's a massive, massive place. And I'm wondering how often and how carefully is it monitored? Because there's a lot to take a look at.
Well, the air quality folks are there quite often. And the OSHA people who represent the enforcement for worker safety somewhat less often. We did a story that showed that in the three inspections that they did that weren't prompted by accidents or complaints, they spent an average of 50 man hours per inspection. This is thousands of acres, lots of industrial processes. They have a lube oil lubricant factory that they use refining. They have the crude oil unit. They have a hydrocracker, which is known as Isomax. So they've got a lot of things going on here. They are obligated to track and to check the integrity of everything in this refinery. And one of the things we've learned so far is that that process broke down in the most August 6th fire, that they acknowledged that they knew, or some element of their expertise cadre knew, that particular pipes could be prone to sulfur-related corrosion and more rapidly deteriorating, and yet that they said that that information wasn't effectively communicated into the company. And so back last year when they took the plant down for maintenance, they opted, for whatever reason, to leave the pipe that ultimately failed in place rather than replacing it. Its neighbor companion pipeline, slightly thicker, but with the exact same material being processed, they replaced that pipe, the 12-inch, around pipe. And this is an 8-inch diameter pipe, and they decided to leave the 8-inch in place. The material had been checked at various points along its course. It's about 200 feet. But the U.S. Chemical Safety Board, the agency that is kind of ushering all the various probes going on right now, although they are not a regulatory agency, they're really just they just inform the public and Congress about the issues. In this context, they said that Chevron knew that the breakdown of their pipe had reached levels that they would normally require it being replaced, and yet for some reason they didn't replace it. So that's a totally separate, this is in the crude oil unit where the fire occurred. The flaring mechanism, what they called an equalization situation, that occurred in the Isomax, which is a much higher pressure, higher temperature refining process on the same grounds of the refinery.
And did you say that the refinery is about 1,500 acres?
I believe it's over 2,000 acres.
So that's bigger than the Presidio in San Francisco.
Well, it's a very large place, and there's a lot of things going on there. And to go there for 50 hours once every 2 years, which is how long that OSHA spent on planned audits. They obviously came for complaints and accidents. Some critics say that those particular reviews are limited to the issue at hand, and they don't allow sort of any kind of intensive review of refinery practices in general. They're just trying to settle the issue that's the subject of the complaint, or the matter related to the accident that brought them out there. They can't turn up the whole place and, turn it over. And the federal OSHA, which does some of these inspections on states that don't have offices that act in their stead, they, as well as some states who agreed to go in part of a national program emphasizing refinery safety that ended last year, they spent an average of 1,000 hours per refinery doing inspections and found a host of violations, on average of 11 violations per inspection, and fines netting about $76,000. Whereas California's efforts at Chevron, there were 3 inspections, each lasting a relatively an average of 50 man-hours and resulting in no citations and no fines.
Why are there so many fewer inspections then?
Well, California did not take part in the National Emphasis Program. They argued that they had their own Office of Process Safety Management. And there are some questions in articles we've written that have been raised about the intensity of California's enforcement efforts on a refinery. Some refineries have not been inspected in any significant way in comparison to the federal level of the enforcement program that ended last year. And it is true that the federal government had lagged as well upon doing these kind of inspections themselves. And after a 2005 accident in Texas involving the BP Texas City refinery, which a number of workers were killed, the federal government was called to account by the same body that's overseeing this probe, the U.S. Chemical Safety Board, for not doing more intensive inspections of oil refineries. As a result, they pledged this National Emphasis Program, which involved many states doing some of the work, and they themselves having a team that went into refineries, and they looked at over the 120 refineries in the United States. California has 15 refineries, and we totaled the amount of inspection efforts on all of them. They averaged about 50 man-hours per inspection across the board for all 15 refineries. Some have never been inspected. They have gone in because of accidents and complaints. But the federal standard, which dates back to the early 1990s, suggests that they should be intensive, high level of enforcement activity, taking a team is envisioned to take some time in the refinery with experts and protocols and all of that. So, and the Fed's never been able to reach that standard themselves.
Let alone the state.
Let alone California. But California had offered its program, which is the Process Safety Management Office, as being, you know, the most stringent oil refinery safety inspection program in the country. But when we looked at the hours, it was clear that the amount of hours per refinery belied the level of scrutiny that one might suggest would be needed to keep these refineries in check. The office of the federal OSHA, a top official with that agency, said that a lot of these refineries across the country look good on paper, but when you start uncovering what's actually there, you find a different story. And he briefed Congress, and he's told other agencies about the need to consider more dedicated refinery safety efforts. However, California, which did have an office that handled refinery safety, its efforts will pale in comparison, even when you include the accidents and complaint amount of man hours compared to the 1,000 hours spent per inspection done by the federal 3-year emphasis program that just ended last year.
That's Jackson Vanderbecken, who writes for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's reporting on the Chevron refinery. So are there changes expected to come in place, and what kind of consequences could Chevron face based upon their potential infractions here in this criminal investigation?
Well, the criminal investigation handled by the United States Environmental Protection Agency, if they're enforcing the federal consent decree, they could literally fine them thousands of dollars, presumptively hundreds of thousands of dollars, because it's a per-day kind of violation situation. We know that there are over 24 flaring events, and this flaring situation apparently predated all flaring regulations and was in place until August of 2009. So we're talking at least a 4.5-year period or longer, depending on how these agreements are enforced. Then we have the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which is doing its own separate but incorporated investigation into the Chevron refinery and what worker safety violations might have been involved. Then you have the Air Quality Management District looking at air quality issues surrounding the release and the fire, which lasted a number of hours and has been quite controversial about people being sheltered in place. So there's just a lot of elements to this. And the, in the end, however, most of these agencies are highly limited in how many type of violations they can seek, how much dollar amounts they can impose, and they almost universally claim that they just don't have enough firepower to go to deter conduct. I mean, for a $29 billion company last year for Chevron, $170,000 fine, you know, even which was the highest that they had paid in a decade, according to our view, is not, in some people's minds, a very significant amount, you know, compared to the total dollars of their effort across the world.
And for that matter, it seems like it might be more expensive for them, if one is just looking at the bottom line, to revise their operations to run cleaner or safer. That would be more expensive than just going ahead and paying these fines as it goes.
Well, right now, one of the issues is how are they going to rebuild? This refinery was, you know, this crude oil unit, which is, you know, quite a significant part of its refining operations. It feeds all the other ancillary units. It starts with the raw material, and everything moves up the chain. This particular unit, you know, some people argue could be rebuilt with more up-to-date or better equipment. It dates to 1972.
And they've wanted to rebuild it, too. They've run into some
hurdles. They had a renewal program that they were faulted by community activists and for not considering the impact for the heavier, dirtier oil that they perhaps intended to refine there. And they halted the environmental impact report for the renewal program that they had envisioned. Now they're going to be rebuilding the crude oil unit here, and they're going to need to get the permission of both regulators and arguably the city of Richmond and others. And how they carry out that rebuilding, whether it's with the latest available technology or something else, that's all in the cards right now. It's unclear how that's going to happen. Regulators from the Air Quality Management District have pledged to make sure that the rebuilt refinery does incorporate the latest available air pollution control technology. But, you know, whether that actually happens, we'll have to watch and see.